Carl Dieter, welcome.
Hey, how you doing?
You're here for the story behind the song, Carl.
I am indeed.
And Carl, what is the story behind which song today? It's a political theme to it, slightly.
Yeah, well, funny enough, it's a song that didn't start off as political at all. It got co-opted into the world of politics, and it's I Won't Back Down by Tom Petty. And it's a great song, a very simple song. Like, it only has four chords, about 50 different words in it. I Won't Back Down constitutes a third of the words used in the song.
Okay, yeah.
And yet it still changes from being minor driven to a major key. And it's incredibly poignant because of its simple message. But it actually came about because Tom Petty's house got burnt down. They believe it was an arson attack. And he said, I won't back down. I won't be afraid. I'm going to, you know, move on. I'll stand my ground. That's what the whole message behind. Yeah, exactly. Mm. And it was written by him. George Harrison from the Beatles did some on it. And, you know, it was just one of those great little numbers. I'll play you a quick version. So he did it real nasally. He always sang real high.
Yeah.
Well, I won't back down. Jeez, I'm after singing in the wrong key. Well, I won't back down. No, I won't back down.
Yeah.
You can stand me up at the gates of hell. Great song. Everyone started to use it. George Bush used it, and he wanted to sue George Bush on a cease and desist. And that was something that I think he eventually did cease and desist. But then Hillary Clinton also used it. Several different people running for government had used it across the USA. And then it's also been co-opted into a lot of other songs, too. So Johnny Cash did a version of it before he died. But he slowed it down and did it in his kind of won't back down.
Yeah.
No, I won't back down. And that lovely deep timbre that he had, and he'd just make everything sound great.
I mean, I'm presuming that Tom Petty's politics would be blue rather than red.
Yeah, yeah. Most musicians are. Look, like, there's very, very few musicians who are on the conservative spectrum. And that's just natural to the music. But he's quite conservative, though, when it comes to using his music, because he's quick enough for the little capitalist within him to jump right out. You know, he would be in arguments with his record label, arguments with other artists. Like I said, he was telling George Bush that he would sue him, and he would support other government figures with his music. So he was obviously very politicized. But a lot of musicians, like, who claim to be all about the people, you know, when you look at their tax affairs and what they do with their money, that's really where I find it most fascinating. And the other thing is, he also gets ripped off, as does everybody. You opened the show today with A Beautiful Day by U2.
Yeah.
And I was saying that the middle part of that song goes, I think it's touch me, take me to that open, to believe me.
Yeah.
If you listen to The Sun Always Shines on TV by Aha, it actually dovetails in with that. Now, I'm
touch
not saying that anyone...
Me,
go
how
on.
Can it be? Believe me.
Sun
always shines.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Well, it's quite similar, yeah.
Yeah, well, look, Woody Guthrie, who was one of the most famous folk artists ever, inspirational figure to the likes of Bob Dylan, he called it the folk process. It's called, you know, a form of plagiarism. Bob Dylan did it. In fact, there was an Irish songwriter named Dominic Behan who wrote a song called God on Our Side, which was the idea of patriots going out to fight and believing that, Bob Dylan wrote God on My Side. Dominic Behan wrote a song called The Patriot Game. So Bob Dylan takes the song, The Patriot Game, and turned it into a new song called God on Our Side. Complete and utter ripoff of Irish traditional music that he got while he was here.
Yeah.
And the same thing happens to
but of course, how can you separate the plagiarism from the influenced by?
Okay.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, you'd get it. I mean, I'm not saying if you ever robbed a joke, but have you ever heard something that was funny and co-opted it into what you do? I'm guessing yes.
Yeah, possibly more subliminally than anything else. I mean, I actually sometimes avoid watching comedians because I'm afraid that I'll like one of them so much that I'll end up stealing their material.
Yeah.
So I try not to watch as many as I can so that I can concentrate and come up with my own stuff.
Yeah.
But listen, this ran into trouble as well, didn't it, with Sam Smith?
Okay.
That it was accused of sounding...
Let's give it a bash.
All right.
So I'm going to do the Johnny Cash version and try and bash it into
Sam
Smith.
Is that one back down?
Yeah. Back down.
Mm.
No, I won't back down. Well, you can stand me up at the gates of hell. All right.
Yeah.
Now we're going to do Sam Smith.
Okay.
Oh, won't you stay with me? Because you're all I need.
Jesus. Well, that is identical.
Oh, darling, it is plain to see. Oh, won't you stay with me?
And actually, the way you sang it there, it actually has a folky, just a simple folky sound to it, doesn't it?
Well, that's because I'm a hillbilly guitar player. So I mean, you can give me anything, and it's going to have a little bit of that.
So that ended up
in court, and Sam Smith gave away the money as he should. So again, Tom Petty exercising his very capitalist motives. His guys wrote
the judge ruled in favor of Tom Petty.
Never got to judge, and I'll tell you why. Because if you get into something with royalties and a lot of the rights around a song, what happens is because they're current, ongoing, and being done in different ways all over the world. If you lose a case, it is a nightmare of retrospective accounting. So say you made $4 million from a song and it turns out that you had to pay someone else $1 million. You actually lose the whole $4 million because you'll spend $3 million trying to get the $1 million. So they tend to settle really early and often where it is kind of obviously a case that would go ahead. So in that case, when I just sang those two songs together, I mashed them up, but they are so clearly related to one another that, you know, there really wasn't much of an argument in that.
The other one that I remember being really contentious was the George Harrison song, My Sweet Lord. That was My Sweet Lord, Hare Krishna, my love.
And who wrote that? I don't even remember that.
I'll come back to it. I'll find the background to it. But is it illegal? It's not illegal to use, for a politician, to use their song as somebody's song at a campaign rally.
No.
It's public playing, isn't it?
Well, look, the way I would see it is if you're going to put a song out there and take all the money for the publishing rights and the mechanical royalties and everything that else comes with it, and a politician is out there using that song, as long as they're registered, then you need to shut up and accept it. That's my view, because you didn't say no to all the money elsewhere. If it was a case that you said, I'm granting this song on a license per use basis and you can only use it if you agree with what I believe, well then fine, that's a different thing. But look, politicians, they want to get the crowds going. They need something to rally, they need a call. And it happens with all sorts of different bands. Like, do you remember that glam rock band, Twisted Sister?
Yep.
They were like awful looking, but they had a song, We're Not Gonna Take It. We're not gonna take it anymore. And that became, you know, something that was used recently in politics.
Mm.
And they're out there saying, oh, that's not what we wrote that song for.
Patrick told me just there in my ear that the My Sweet Lord is from after the Chiffons. He's so fine. He's so fine. Da, da, da. Come on, Patrick. Man.
He's look at that,
so
we got
so My Sweet Lord. Anyway.
So there you go. So look, ripping off people, it's always been part of music.
Yeah.
It always will be part of music.
And Petty and Donald Trump? Petty.
If you're going to rob from the best. That's what I say.
And Petty making a point to Donald Trump?
Yeah, so he goes and plays at Donald Trump had looked at banning people who are transgender from military service. So Tom Petty would play at Democrat conventions and feature different women, some who would be trans women, in the videos that he would play while playing his songs. And again, it's part of the back and forth that happens with the arts, with politics. And generally, what you'll find is that the arts are deeply liberal, except for when it comes to their rights on music or film. And then you find that other groups of people tend to be deeply conservative, who be your bankers, your accountants. And I think people tend to segregate down a bit based on the industry that they're in. Like radio would be highly liberal, typically. A lot of media would be typically highly liberal. And so, you know, this is just another guy who is fitting into that cast, and they only break rank when it comes to their pocket.
Carl, thank you very much for telling me the story behind the song today. And for the political day that's in it, introduce it.
Oh, yeah. Back down.
Here we are.
No, I won't back.